of gifted young men and women. I am sure that you have seen how passionately they are living for God. Since being given this privilege as a deacon for the 18 to 30s, I've been able to walk alongside these young adults for the past year. And I have heard time and time again how they've put their faith into action, taking steps forward in sharing their faith at university, abroad, and here in Rayleigh. Now that our students, well, I hope some of them are here tonight, have returned for the summer break, and alongside some of our guys here already at RBC, there was definitely a sense of wanting something more substantial. I know from talking with them that they wanted to continue with the intensity of the spiritual walk they've been on at university and not to waste their summer. And as a group, we have been meeting regularly for a time of free and open worship on a Wednesday night. And recently, we took things further. We went out for a prayer walk in Rayleigh. And also, last night, we had our first worship event. And you know, last night was really good because it wasn't just about putting on a show. It wasn't just about showing off talents. It was about coming here to God's temple to worship Him, just to be in His presence. I believe that He blesses us when we sacrifice any of our time to Him. But how humbling is it when we give Him prime time Saturday night? I know we all have really busy lives in the week and we get to Saturday night and we just want to relax or just do our own thing. But it was so humbling to see them come to church and just worship God. You know, they could quite easily have gone down to McDonald's and spent the night eating all the Mackey D's that they want, but they came to church and worshipped. And you know, there was one highlight of the evening, which is definitely the strawberry chocolate that the Howards produced. It was amazing. And I was quite fortunate because I got the last one, so that was quite good. But you know, it's been a real blessing in these worship evenings because we've been able to come as a group to worship, to talk, to pray, to sing, to even wrestle with our relationship with God, to spend time magnifying His glory and displaying His delight in our worship. And you know, in all of this, I've had a sense from God that He's really been speaking to me how important it is that we don't waste our lives. From the point that all we do is done for the glory of God. When I look back at the time we've spent together, the worship time, the prayer walk last night, don't get me wrong, it's been such a mind-blowing time, but it's only been a snippet of the week. I've had a sense that God really commands and desires so much more of our lives as possible, magnifying and displaying His glory in us, magnifying it by pouring out our lives in such a way that shows those that don't know or can't fathom an all-glorious and powerful God, the God that as believers we have come to follow. You know, it should be our duty and our passion so that ultimately we don't waste our lives. Now, over in the library, I've been reading a book by John Piper, who's the minister at Bethlehem Baptist in Minneapolis. And it is quite aptly named, Don't Waste Your Life. But it is such an amazing book. It has really, really challenged me. And there's one chapter where he writes this. We exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all people through Jesus Christ. Find the God-centered, Christ-exalted, Bible-saturated passion of your life. Find it your way, say it, live it, and die for it. Let me say that again. We exist to spread a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all people through Jesus Christ. Find the God-centered, Christ-exalted, Bible-saturated passion of your life. Find your way to say it, live it, and die for it. I don't know about you, but that certainly is the mission statement I am trying to achieve in my life. I get the feeling that John Piper isn't mentioning this statement just for a season or just for a moment. He wants us to be doing it from the first time we take that breath to the day we go to glory. I know we've heard a lot about Paul in sermons recently by our good Scott Williamson. However, I just feel that his letters really captivate the strong desire that God has for our lives, all of our life, to ensure that it is not wasted. Paul's teaching has helped us to understand exactly where Pastor John is coming from, where he talks about the core of having God as the saturated passion of our lives. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he even writes about the importance of weaving food and drink into our lives. Now you might say, Michael, why are you mentioning food and drink? But food and drink is one of those necessities that we really need. But we take it for granted, don't we? It's one of those things that we always have. It's quite important in our lives. Let's make sure that we don't waste even the food and drink that we have. In 1 Corinthians 10, it illustrates this by explaining we must be careful to eat and drink only that is which from the Lord and not evil. Verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Let's be honest with ourselves here. How often do we give glory to God for every morning and evening meal? How often do we bless around food when we have guests over? How often do we share with the less fortunate when we go out? A small action, but it can be a real vital action in our lives, being a glory to God. Now, as many of you know, I work at Waitrose. And since working in the food retail, I've really grasped what Paul's saying about food and drink. At the store, we sell a massive range of food items, but a lot of these items will have a very short life date, maybe 1 to 3 days for obvious health and safety reasons. But I'm sure you'd be really interested to know that more than often, that food goes straight into the bin to waste. Food will be just chucked out because it has a small dent in it. It might have a small rip in the packaging. The food's not even been got at, but it's classed as wasted. Many fruit and veg items that we sell go out of date and gone to waste before it's even ripened. How crazy is that? In monetary terms, we are looking at hundreds of thousands of pounds on a yearly basis going to waste. And that's only one store, one retailer. I know that home, if I waste a cup of tea, am I in trouble with Heather? And I must admit, I only drank half the cup of tea this morning. But seriously, let's make sure that we don't end up like that food that's gone to waste. We need to remember, like the farmers who have taken special care and attention to grow our food, God has taken special care and consideration to create us, to spend our lives living for Him and not just wasted. We can see so many similarities in society whereby someone who has a dent or has a damaged rib are classed as not worthy and are classed as wasted. But we know different, don't we? Let's ensure that by not wasting our lives, it will have a ripple effect. Everyone knows that when you drop a pebble in the water, the ripples will travel far and wide. How great could it be if we decided to do something differently? Even the smallest thing for God could have a massive impact. Now, going back to what Paul says in his letters, in Philippians 2:17, he writes, "But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." Now here, Paul was most likely referring to the Old Testament ritual of pouring out a sacrificial drink to God. However, I believe Paul was using an example to go deeper, that actually explaining to us, like the drink, his life is being poured out as a sacrifice for God. Paul, as we know, definitely didn't want to waste his life. The Bible describes how everything Paul did was for the glory of God. He spent so much time writing letters to encourage others to do the same. If you read in chapter 2, Paul urges us, like the Philippian church, to shine like stars. Now, if I'm not wrong, last night, someone came into the church who I'd never seen before. I saw them come in have a look at the notice board. They went to the loo, and then they actually stayed for the evening. Now, I believe that's because last night, when we worshipped, we shined like stars. And I believe that person walking past saw that, and they were interested to come in, and they stayed. He also continues to encourage and challenge us to think more carefully about the pouring out of our lives. Yes, it cost Paul a troubled life, and yes, it cost him his death. But don't we all want that life? Because I definitely want that life. Living every moment, magnifying God and not wasting it. We are all at this very moment pouring out our lives as a sacrifice. But how are we pouring it out? A question that I believe we need to be asking ourselves on a regular basis. To me, it seems a contradiction to say that we are Christians if we don't pour out our time for God. Who or what are we sacrificing our time and attention to? We were not created and bought by Jesus to waste our attention on that which is no use to God. One of the things that distracts us from living out Paul's teaching, I have found, is Facebook. People wish away their time on Facebook. They put up statuses how they can't wait for the weekend and it's only Monday. They put up countdown clocks for holidays that are 6 months away. We pour out our time glued to televisions. I know for myself, I spend so much time watching movies. I love movies, but it's probably not the best use of my life. It is so easy for us to get caught up in routines on a weekly basis, pouring out our time on the same things. I know for me, it was definitely football. Every Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, I was playing, I was watching. But you know, it took me a long time. I realized that even though I love football, it didn't serve any purpose in my walk with God. And that was really hard for me. For those that know me, switching Sunday football for church has been an absolute blessing on my life. Are we prepared to give up something we love but doesn't bear any fruit for something that is fruitful? To me, that is such a hard question. I love football. I can't tell you how much I love football. But it doesn't produce any fruit. For me, it is actually detrimental. It didn't serve any purpose. Are there things in your life that you love but doesn't produce any fruit? Are we going to do something else that actually does produce fruit? How much more could we benefit the kingdom if we use that time in sacrifice to God, being involved in something that uses the best of our godly gifts in service? As I mentioned earlier, I've been so inspired by our students over the last year, and I would encourage you to speak to them. They don't bite. One of the biggest differences I see in them from any other students is that they have chosen not to waste their life. They ensured that everything they do, God is at the center of it. I think we can learn so much from them. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We have first been saved and are able to accept God through Jesus Christ. Though I truly believe that doesn't stop there. I don't believe we were specially created just to sail through life and relax. It can't be enough just to believe." The words in that verse say, "Glorify God in your body." These are the words that challenge us not to waste our lives, but to glorify God continually till our last breath. I'd like to tell you about a good mate of mine. I first met Brad working at Waitrose, and I instantly saw in him he had this incredible gift. He was just able to make you laugh all the time. He would always make you feel good about yourself. It was literally impossible not to smile. You couldn't feel unhappy about him. Every conversation, he would leave an impression. He was the soul and the heart of that store. He would gladly give up his time to be with you and to listen. And I'd never met anyone like it. Unfortunately for Brad, his life was cut short at 24 years old in unforeseen circumstances. Now, one of Brad's passions was music. And I remember distinctly at the funeral, Brad's dad mentioned how on his laptop he was surprised to find the hymn, How Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And I remember going back, we were working with Brad, how we used to have conversations about God and church. For Brad, I prayed and hoped he found Jesus before his untimely passing. Now, no way am I suggesting his life was a waste. But what if he had used that unique and godly gift he had for Jesus? I really believe he would have turned heads and changed hearts. I feel for us, his short life is a stern reminder that we are only on this earth for a moment. We need to spend every moment of our lives living in a way that displays God's greatness, his beauty, and his infinite worth, because that is what he truly is and deserves. Now, I'm sure you all know someone who would love to come see into faith, but are present not using their lives for Jesus. I want to encourage you that our lives can have an impact. And as I shared before with Scott, my half-sister is now attending a church and starting Alpha. That is a long distance away from the atheist Laura I have known and grown up with. I don't want to see my sister waste her life anymore on that which is not God-centered. To finish, I would like to remind you with the quote I started with. I urge you all to do as John Piper writes. Find the God-centered, Christ-exalted, Bible-saturated passion of your life. Find your way to say it, live it, and die for it. Let's not waste our lives, but let our lives be a light in the name of Jesus in a society gripped by darkness. It'd be really good in reflection of what I've just spoken about as Helen plays the piano. If we could just spend some time with our hearts and our minds open to God. And let's ask the question, am I going to waste my life? Or am I going to saturate my life in God's love, in his glory, in his will, and in his purpose for us? Let's just mold over that. Are we going to waste our life? Father, I pray that as Paul urges us to do, everything we do to glorify your name. That as we go into this week, Lord, we can spend every moment, every chance we can to glorify you, to spread your holy name, to tell people of the gospel, to bless our food, to bless around other people, to just shine like stars. And Father, I know it's so difficult when there are things in our lives that we love but are just not fruitful. I pray that with the help of our Christian friends, our family, that we can see that they aren't of use to you, Lord, and actually we need to be doing things that are totally in glory to you. Just as I gave up football, maybe there are things here tonight that people need to give up to pursue that walk with you, Lord, even more fruitful. Amen. Please stand as we sing our next song.
During this next song, the offertory will be taken.
I do apologise, I forgot. I
knew I had one thing to do and I forgot.
It's all right, we're working together.
Cheers, Helen.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us everything. Thank you for the fact that you are always there with us and you have always been there with us, even in the times when we did not know it or did not feel it. You have promised to walk with us always and to be with us to the end of the age.
Thank you, Mike. Very powerful. Very challenging. If I tell that guy was so nervous before we started, I think he did brilliantly. And I think we've got to take on board what God has been saying to each one of us tonight as we go from this place. And thank you, Helen, too, for leading our worship tonight. Yeah, in the light of that, next Sunday evening, we have a baptismal service here. So we would expect the place to be full. And in the light of that message, on the 20-something of September, the 24th of September, the 24th of September, we're starting our next Alpha course. And maybe God's speaking to you tonight to challenge you through the words that Mike has spoken about bringing somebody along to Alpha. Maybe that's God's challenge to you tonight. There are plenty of people out there. Maybe that person who wandered in last night. We don't know who they are. But we need to pray and seek who it is that God would have each of us to bring on to the next Alpha course, which starts on the 24th of September. So thank you for being with us tonight. There is tea, coffee, and biscuits out in the lounge. God bless.
We got a final hymn. Do you mind? This is one of my favourite hymns. I really can't go home without singing it. Is "We Rest on Thee, Our Shield and Our Defender." The music is fabulous. It's by Sibelius. And the other thing that has always touched my heart is that it was, I believe, the final song that Jim Elliot and his missionary friends sang before they went to meet, and I'm really bad at remembering the exact place, but I think it was in Ecuador when they went to meet a tribe, and unfortunately their efforts to bring the gospel weren't understood at that time, and their blood was shed. They were martyred for their faith, but now there is a Christian presence there, thanks to them. So for me, when I sing these words, to sing them and think of people who have gone before us who really have lived it is very, very moving indeed.
So let's stand and sing.